What's up, everyone? On this episode, we have the founder and CEO of Fadeaway Fitness, Jeremy Hayes. Fadeaway Fitness is a basketball player development and sports performance training company in the West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio areas. Coach Jeremy started Fadeaway Fitness in 2017, and it really took off. Before COVID-19, he was seeing anywhere from 500 to 1,200 different athletes a month. He created the Twitter viral challenge that you may have seen with the hashtag #BeatTheTrainer. In this episode, we talk about player skill development, fadeaway fitness, player habits, and more. Let's roll it back and hear how it went.
In 2017, you started Fadeaway Fitness. So what exactly is that, and how did you come up with the name, the whole thing?
Right. So I moved to Pittsburgh after I got done playing like all my college stuff and professional stuff. And I got onto an AAU program, and I ended up just starting to train kids, I guess just on a more regular basis. And the training thing kind of just like started to really take off. So I ended up quitting a full-time job, I guess, and just strictly doing AAU, and then got into training and created a training company. And honestly, I went back and forth for a long time trying to come up with a name. And I wanted to do something relating to basketball, but I also do like sports performance training. So speed and agility, plyometrics and explosion, strength and conditioning. So it was like, I wanted to do a little bit of both with the name, I guess. And I don't know, I literally was just getting ready to make the move. And I just like, I guess I just said Fadeaway something. And then I ended up liking those two F's, kind of putting that as a logo together. So I went with Fadeaway Fitness, and it just stuck, and I just rocked with it since.
Did you shoot a lot of fadeaways in your career?
No, but like, I just wanted to do something that was just a little bit different than, I guess, every other company, I guess. They said I didn't want it to be like a name you looked on Google, and there was 100,000 different like results that popped up. And so I ended up just trying it, and I went with it, and things have worked out so far.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that you've trained many, many players. I can see by the numbers that you've had in Fadeaway Fitness. But yeah. What are the ages of players that you do train, and what are some things that you really try to hone in on with them?
Yeah. So like I said, it took off. I have kind of kids from all ages, all skill sets, kind of everywhere. But the majority, I would say, of what the most kids that I train are like that, like 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, that little gap. I mean, I got a lot of kids below that, and I got a lot of kids, older high school kids, and especially college players as well. But I would say the majority of the kids that I have are, like I said, that 6th to 9th, 10th grade. And like I said, in my opinion, I feel like kids should be like a well-rounded athlete. And if you can kind of tailor that at the beginning of their career, then like I said, they can dribble, they can pass, they can shoot, they can defend, they can kind of do a little bit of everything instead of being like, I would say just like a one-way player. But especially skill sets now, I mean, you see a lot in the NBA now, it's like guys that can shoot can play. So tailoring a lot of my workouts towards shooting. But then I feel like if you're a guard, you should be able to handle the ball against pressure with either hand. So attacking the basket, finishing around the rim. But I said passing, I think, is a very underdeveloped skill that I'm trying to really hone on myself too. And I really like to honestly, like, I call it like skill stacking. So like kind of combining multiple skills into one drill. So you're working on ball handling, working on passing. Now you're working on cutting. Okay, now we're working on our proper footwork to get into our shot. Like I said, in that one maybe mini drill, we kind of maximize like 4 or 5 different skill sets into one then.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then do you do more so group work or individual skill work as well?
Honestly, it just depends. And I would say it depended before COVID. Now it's kind of different because of, I'm not trying to bring as many kids into a gym right now. I'm not trying to do as many groups right now. Just because of COVID and everything that's still kind of going on with the disease and everything. So I would say more so now I do mostly individuals, but then some like mini small groups. But before COVID, I mean, I was doing like 18, 19 sessions a day, and that could be a mix between like individuals and then like three or four classes. And then, okay, here's a couple private groups, and then lead that into like a camp session with 60, 70, 80 kids. Like, it just depended on honestly what was going on, what part of the year it was. And like I said, what kind of kids I could kind of pull. But it is a lot of fun, I guess, in what I do, just because it's like you get to work with so many kids and help so many different athletes and families kind of achieve the goal that you set out to do when you were a kid. And kind of like moving forward now, it's like I see myself doing a lot of individuals now, but it's almost got to transition back to, okay, as things open up more and more because of COVID, now let's get back into our groups. Let's get back into our bigger classes. Let's get into our camps. And then I guess you could be the first one that I'm going to, I guess, reveal it on, but I have a showcase that I'm actually doing this summer back in like the Wheeling, West Virginia area, where I'm trying to bring in like 72 kids for four different sessions. And they said really maximize their exposure and their skill development, but also being able to showcase what they can do during games as well. So I try to do a little bit of everything relating to basketball here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm not really the biggest fan of individual skill work.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously, what I mean by that is, you know, I think it's important to work on your skills, your individual right. skills, like ball handling, shooting, all that stuff. I think what I mean is one-on-one training. I think it's obviously it's great for you, but I'm not a big fan in the sense that there are other things I would like to do, like two-on-one training, you know, where you can right. incorporate passing and playing one-on-one defense and stuff like that. So don't right. get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't like skill work. I just training one-on-one can be, I guess, you're limited in what you can do. Right.
For sure.
At least that's how I feel.
I honestly, I get the same vibe as well, but also it gets to the point where like, I think kids start to develop I have to pound the ball 100 times, make 100 different combo moves to get to the basket because I'm in an individualized workout and that's all I can do. So that's where I really try to tailor, like I said, where I'm attacking the basket, work on a driving kick and then relocate and kind of get into a shot. Especially now especially since it's an individual session. But like I said, as things progress and kind of, I guess, get back to where I was before COVID, it was like, you could have me have, I'm very competitive 3-on-3 sessions. Like I said, work on closeouts, work on defending, work on your spacing. And like I said, your passing, your ability to drive and kick and shoot and knock down shots. So like I said, I feel like it is very beneficial to do individualized attention, but also I feel like having somebody else there, you also get that competitive aspect to it too. So, okay, maybe it's the first one to hit 7 shots. Maybe it's the first one to get 5 stops on the defensive end. So I feel like having a healthy mixture of the two, I think, is very beneficial.
Oh, definitely. So when a player comes to you, what are some bad habits that you see? Not all the players, I'm sure, that come to you have bad habits, but I would imagine that if you haven't been training a player and they're new to your sort of style of teaching, what are some things that you're seeing that are just not good?
Right. And I feel like it just depends on, like I said, person to person and their habits and what they're used to and how hard they're willing to push. And so I'm really big on being able to do the drill game speed, push yourself game speed. So that's I'm not just going to let you like slack through the drill. I really want you to push yourself to the ultimate limit, but then being able to do things correct as well. So I said, if you're going to attack the middle of the floor and step into your jump shot into like the inside foot pivot outside foot, like you better be able to do that and do that at a high level consistently too. So like I said, I feel like just shooting form, I would say footwork, I would say like I said, quickness of like being able to react. Also, like I said, handling the ball with either hand, but also I would say finishing with either hand around the rim. So it's all small little things I like to almost like evaluate, see what they're really good at, see what they lack, I guess, or what their weaknesses could be, and then almost tailor workouts increasing their weaknesses and then working on their strengths as well. I said it's really beneficial to see somebody kind of come in the gym raw and have really no idea, I guess, what I'm looking to do, what I'm looking to put them through, and to kind of see them grow and develop and kind of let them fail a little bit. And then they start to see it and figure it out and kind of see the light bulb go off. And now they start to see some success. And I think that's the biggest thing is, like, once kids come to me and maybe it's tough, maybe it's challenging and I'm pushing and I'm really trying to hold them accountable to everything. And then they go and play a game and now they can understand what I was talking about, see themselves do it on film. Maybe they hit a new personal goal. And like I said, kind of see the light bulb go off. I think it makes it well worth it in the long run then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yay! You know, you mentioned something that I often see, and it's definitely a bad habit, is especially during ball handling drills where, you know, you're doing 10 to 20 minute dribbling drills, full right. court, making moves, things like that, is that first like 2 minutes is looking really good, but then yeah. all of a sudden you can just see this drop off of 100% all of a sudden right. is now 75%.
Right.
So when you see that, and I would imagine that you probably see that, you know, a good amount of times when we're talking about skill work here, you know, you can kind of hide some of that stuff in team drills because they're right. forced to like sprint doing right. team drills. So what do you say to your players when, you know, it's now minute 3 and all of a sudden that 100% has turned into 75, 50 even?
Right. So honestly, and I that's a very good quote that I even heard from Kara Lawson from Duke. And it was talking about just like working hard and competing. And like I said, it was pretty much, it got to the point where like, if I asked you to run 5 sprints, you're going to run 5 sprints just to get them done. But if I put somebody next to you and I say, hey, run these 5 sprints, and now somebody's pushing you, like I said, you're naturally just going to compete a little bit harder to ultimately achieve that goal to beat the other person. So once I pretty much get rolling with, like I said, if it's a ball handling thing, and hey, we're going for maybe a desired amount of time, and you start to see that decline in speed or your form or mechanics or just anything starts to just kind of lack, I almost like stop, kind of pull the reins back. Hey, listen, this is where you're at. This is what you're doing right now. And then I'll almost change my teaching style to like, hey, I'm going to give you a desired amount of dribbles or like revolutions. If it's like a crosser between the legs behind the back, that's one revolution. Hey, you got to get 30 of these in 30 seconds, and almost like tone the time back, but then increase like a number of reps and try to hit a target goal almost. And I feel like just that helps kids just naturally get that competitive edge. Oh, well, I need to get that score. And then maybe if they don't, then I'll give them, hey, listen, you got 15 pushups. Hey, you got a sprint. And that just kind of like, I'm not saying tricks to the kid or like turns their mind different, but it just gets to the point where like naturally they want to compete and they always want to win. They always want to achieve it versus just doing it and getting it done. But then you do have your few people that you work with, and like, you don't have to tell them to go harder. They just naturally, okay, I'm going to go as hard as I can. And you almost have to, okay, let's tone it back a little bit. You're kind of pushing a little bit too quick. Like you're kind of really rushing. So like I said, you get the people that really, really, really work hard. And then you also get the people that kind of need a kick in the rear end to, hey, let's turn it up a little notch here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I've heard a lot of great coaches speak, and they pretty much across the board all say that you've got to make everything you do and practice a competition.
Right.
You know, because then you want to win. So you're going to go hard if you want to win, which is definitely something that I try to do with my team drills, all sorts of drills, is everything has got to be beat the time or beat the number.
Right.
Just because you don't want anyone to get comfortable.
Right. And I guess honestly, that's where I could kind of translate that from like a me training you in person to, I guess what I started to create over the quarantine was, I honestly put these videos out just to like help my clients, I guess. And, so I ended up posting a video on like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just under my business account. And like, it did pretty well. And like the next couple of days I did another video, and then I did another video, And then, like I said, the third video that I ended up posting was just like me doing a ball handling routine. Hey, listen, do this to really work on your handle, to try to like, one, stay active during this time of like everything shut down. So really still work on your game. But I put my score to it. So it was like, hey, listen, it's going to take you. It took me 15.6 seconds to get this ball handling drill down. Who can beat me type of deal. And so once it started to kind of go, especially on Twitter, I ended up giving it a name called the Beat the Trainer Challenge. And like, it honestly just like started to go crazy. And kids were posting these videos all over the place. And my phone just kept going crazy every single day. And I honestly think it gave kids something to do. It gave kids something to look forward to, but also to improve their game. But then also it was like, I'm pushing myself. So it was like, now you really got to try to beat my score. Whether they post it or not, great. But they said it got to the point where like they were trying to beat me. And it really got to be a pretty fun thing. And I said it gave kids something to do and look forward to every single day. So just that competitive little drive of me posting a dribbling video turned into this, like, I'm not gonna say a crazy phenomenon, but it was just like, it got to the point where like I was getting like hundreds of thousands of like DMs and like retweets and likes and shares and videos posted. And it was like, it just kind of took off all because of a dribbling video I tried to put out for my clients. So that was really, I'm not going to say a fun idea, but it just like, it took off and it was just really cool to see how really big, how it got.
Yeah, no, I actually remember seeing that. And I, at a certain point, we were having Zoom workouts for our practice. And I remember giving the girls on your own workouts to do, because you can't do Zoom workouts with basketball unless you're talking about like body weight stuff. So I would give them, you know, an on your own workout, just get it done by 5 or get it done by the end of the day. And they'd have to go to a park and do a workout. And one of the things we'd have them do was beat the trainer.
Right.
And, crazy. So we were doing it, and then it's because of you.
Yeah. It honestly got pretty crazy. Like I said, it hit like day like 12 of the Beat the Trainer Challenge. Like I started to like really gain a lot of traction, and it was like I was in like 35 different states already, and I was in like 2 or 3 countries, and I was like, this is so crazy to me, off of like a little dribbling video, that's it. So then like I said, as more and more people, and I would say it was pretty much like 92% girls that were doing the videos and everything. It was like, once it like started to really take off, a lot of, even just especially like AAU programs that followed me, they were just sending them to their girls. Hey, listen, do this and just post your video. And so then they were tagging me and everything. And it got to the point where like day 50 hit, and I was in like 45 states with like 7 countries. And then it got to like day 70, and it was like all 50 states. And then I hit like 20 countries. And then once things started to open up back in like the Wheeling, West Virginia area where I'm from, like I got to get back into all the in-person stuff, all the live stuff. And it was like, I couldn't find 5 minutes out of my day to just do this dribbling video. So I I'm not saying I slacked off, but like it got to the point where it was almost like too much to do. And I ended up giving it a wraps on day 100. But once it hit day 100, I ended up in like 42 different countries. With all 50 states. And it was like, it was so much fun to kind of like see kids progression. And like, now it almost came like full circle, because I had girls reaching out to me and like, they wanted to start training with me. And they were from all different states. And like, I got kids coming to me from all over now. They're traveling 4, 5, 6 hours to work out for an hour or two with me, and then like turn around and go back home, which is crazy. And that's how they found me, was off of Twitter. But then I would say like probably my biggest, I would say proudest accomplishment because of the Beat the Trainer was like, these girls would start doing these videos, and then like a lot of the college coaches started following me, and they started following the girls. And it just got to the point where like I ended up getting a couple kids offers off of just these videos, and like, which was crazy to me. Like I didn't intend for that to happen. Like just to kind of see these girls, and I mean guys too, but like mostly girls kind of like really just like take this thing personal and just really work at their game, and kind of to see their game change over a 100-day span was like, it was a lot of fun. And I met a lot of really, really good people. I got to connect with a lot of people. And like I said, to now have a bond with these people and be able to connect them with college coaches has been probably the most, I'd say, proud moment for me because of that whole thing. Yeah, it helped me grow my brain. Yeah, it helped me get a little bit bigger. But to help somebody else who might not have had that opportunity has been the most rewarding part for me.
That's great. So growing up, you know, we're talking about Fadeaway Fitness here, that name, there's not a lot of great players out there that have mastered the Fadeaway Fitness. There's only a few of them.
Right.
Who was your all-time favorite player? And they better have had a fadeaway in their arsenal, because otherwise it's just not going to make sense to me.
Right. So my all-time favorite player looking up to when I was a kid?
Yep.
I mean, naturally I like LeBron. I mean, I'm a LeBron guy looking up to him. I mean, I was in that era, I would say that tweener area that, I grew up with Michael Jordan. So Jordan and Kobe, LeBron, naturally, those are, I would say, your three guys you always look up to. But honestly, this is going to sound crazy and probably not a whole lot of people will know this, but my favorite player of all time, is a guy by the name of Sebastian Telfair. And just seemed like I kind of like tried to revolve my game after his. He was from like Coney Island, New York. He ended up going to the NBA right out of high school. And he ended up having a movie, documentary based off of him. It's called Through the Fire. And so I really like took a liking to him. And a couple years later, one of my AAU coaches actually played with Sebastian Telfair. His name is Chris Taft. He played in the NBA for the Golden State Warriors for a while. And so he kind of connected me with Sebastian. I got to talk to him a little bit. So that was kind of cool. But I would say Sebastian was probably my number one guy that I always like looked up to, tried to like model my game after. But I mean, I guess you could say I'm a big LeBron guy now. So he does pretty well. He's had a good career so far.
Yeah, no, definitely. My last question for you is, do you have any advice for aspiring hoopers?
Yeah, absolutely. So my big thing is like, no matter what happens in your life, no matter how hard things get, you always are going to get faced with some kind of adversity. Just kind of keep going, keep pushing, avoid, I guess, the naysayers and the critics. And everybody's going to have a comment, whether it be positive or negative. But honestly, just kind of turn the noise out. And if you have a goal, if you have a dream, like I said, to push yourself to the ultimate limit every day, write down your goals, and then look up somebody who's doing that already and reach out and network and connect with them and see how they can help you, see what helped them to kind of reach their spot, and just kind of keep pushing yourself in a positive direction and trying to stay humble, but also trying to stay, like I said, positive about it the entire time. Like, it's not always going to be roses. But if you kind of just like, and I always call it like the 1% like method. If you just kind of like, can I get 1% better today? And then the next day is, can I get a little bit better? And then a little bit better. And like, kind of like once you look back after a while, see how far you really came. Okay. Now kind of keep pushing yourself a little bit more. And like I said, I always think it's just that 1% better attitude every day type of deal.
Yeah, that's great. That's so, so true. Well, thanks so much, Coach, for coming on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I hope that things open up a little bit soon so you can start getting those big groups in to do some training.
Right. Oh, for sure. No, Sammy, I really appreciate you having me on here. And like I said, I'm a fan of what you do. And like I said, being able to help the basketball world and the industry and help people out along the way. So they said, if there's anything I could ever help you with, said, please feel free to reach out. And I really appreciate you having me on here.